seeking a better way to deepen your walk with the Lord and develop that daily habit of staying in His Word every day this new year? Well, at Treasured Ministries, we've got you covered. We believe that the best way to do this is to glean truths from any passage in the Bible you study and to use those words to nourish your soul. And that's exactly why we developed the Nourish Notebook. We saw a need to provide women with something more than just another Bible study journal. We saw a need to offer supportive community and a customizable tool that takes you on a life-changing journey through God's Word. And not only did we want to just give you a notebook, we wanted to kickstart your journey and help you develop that habit by providing you with a free online course with the purchase of the Nourish Notebook. And starting in January, inside of our private Facebook group called the Treasured Tribe, I'm going to be leading a group of women through the 21-day challenge. And so, if you're like me, you want God's confidence in your life. You want to know His direction for your decisions, and you want to uncover more about the truth, about who He is and who you are in Him. I want to invite you to start your new year in the best way possible by joining me and some other pretty amazing women inside of our Treasured Tribe. To discover more, I want you to go to www.treasuredministries.com/nourishnotebook. And now on to today's podcast, where we're going to be looking inside of the Christmas story for God's principles on how you and I can kick perfectionism and doubt to the curb and have confidence in our decision-making abilities. Ready? Let's do this. Hey everybody, I'm Allen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and I want to begin by wishing you a very Merry Christmas at the time that this is going to air. Gosh, Christmas is just around the corner, right? Just around the corner. And if you're a woman and if you're a mama bear, I know that at this point, you're probably exhausted, right? Because there's so much to do for Christmas. But hang in there, it's almost there. And as a mom of two grown older boys that have flown out of the nest, actually, my youngest one, he's a senior in high school. He's pretty much flown out of the nest, but still hanging in there. But anyway, all that work that you're doing to create those traditions inside of your home to celebrate Jesus's birthday, they are all worth it because your kids will appreciate it so much when they grow up. Okay, so let's dive in. So with that bit of encouragement, let's dive into today's podcast. Today's podcast is part two from our podcast last week. Now, in our podcast last week, I talked about the plight of trying to be perfect, perfectionism, and how perfectionism will make you passive from pursuing God's purpose in your life. You'll be so tied up and worried about making a mistake. Did I really hear from God? Am I inside of God's will? That we kind of lack that confidence in our decision-making ability, or we'll make a decision for God. God will speak to us. And one day we'll have confidence in that. And then the next day, that little seed of doubt will swirl in and we'll begin to be what James chapter 1 calls double-minded. Now, I don't believe for one minute that when this happens in my life, that it's a lack of faith in God. I really don't. What I believe is that we lack faith in our ability to hear from God. We wonder, did I really hear from God? You know, this is such a big step. And so because of that, sometimes if we want to be so good, right, and we don't want to make a mistake, we will not step out. We would rather play it safe. And when that happens, we begin to live so cautiously that we're not courageously following Christ. And that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to have that childlike faith, like Mary did in the Christmas story, where she said, "May it be to me as the Lord has said." I am the Lord's servant, right? And that is a woman that is serving the Lord. When God reigns in her heart, and when God reigns in our hearts, when we are following His leadership with confidence, no matter what our circumstances are, it matters, because each yes that you say to God, each courageous, obedient step that you take in this new year is a step in advancing God's plan and purpose for your life, which is ultimately all about building His kingdom. And so it really does matter. So last week we talked about that changing this is all about shifting our focus, because our focus determines our filter from which we make decisions. Are we going to make a decision off of what we see or what God says, off of what other people say or what God says to us? And it really does matter. And so in today's podcast, I'm going to be giving you 3 steps on how to shift that focus. All right. Step number 1 is daily nourishment for God's direction. You must have daily nourishment for God's direction. Now, the first reason is this. The Bible talks about the fact that in Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Live on. Like, that's what we live our life by, okay? And so when Jesus referenced that passage in Matthew 4:4, he was actually quoting a verse from Deuteronomy that referred to manna. Now, manna, as you know, was the provision, the physical provision that God gave the Israelites in the wilderness. And the deal with manna was this: you had to go out every day and get it. And your manna from yesterday wasn't sufficient for the next day. And I believe, well, really, there's volumes Jesus is trying to speak to us inside of this verse. But I believe one of the things that he wants us to understand is that you need a fresh word from God every day. That's the best possible, you know, way that you can live that faith-filled life and have confidence is that fresh word from God every single day. Now, one of my favorite commentaries is a commentary by David Stern. David Stern is a Messianic Jew. And he's written a commentary. The one that I have is on the New Testament. And if you'll remember from last week, I referenced the story that's inside of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, where Peter steps out of the boat, and which, hey, you need faith to do that, right? He did it. So we should just give a hand clap and say yay to Peter. So he stepped out of the boat, but then when he saw the waves, he began to doubt and he began to sink. And Jesus comes to him and says, "Why do you have such little faith?" Now, it took faith for Peter to step out of the boat. So, and then it's like he lost his faith. And I want to give you this quote from David Stern, because it's so true. Here's what he says about that verse. He says, "Faith is only present tense. It does not build up like a bank account." I'm going to read that again. "Faith is only present tense. It does not build up like a bank account." In other words, faith, walking by faith, is not a one and done thing. You have to, it's a moment by moment choice. And I don't know about you, but this just freeze my heart. You know why? I'll get a word from God one day. I'll be so excited and confident about that decision. And then the next morning I wake up, the enemy starts playing lies in my head, starts creating those waves. And I'll be like, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. You know, and then just start to worry and that downward spiral starts. Well, and then I think, Eileen, I can't believe that you're walking down this pathway after you were so confident yesterday. But see, that's the reality of faith. Faith is present tense. And you and I must realize that we are in a battle, that as much as there is a God that loves you, there's an enemy that's not for you, and he's going to be throwing daggers your way, daggers of doubt. He doesn't want you to follow God. And so we must be proactive. And one of the most powerful ways you can do that is to have that present word from God every day. Every day, God, give me a word that I can hang on to. Now, inside of that scripture, Matthew 4:4, that word, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word. Okay, so that word, are y'all tracking with me? Because it's kind of hard to explain. That word is actually a present tense word that means rhema. Now, rhema is different from logos. Logos, you can find that word for word, is in John chapter 1. It also is translated into the English word, but it means the words that God has spoken, past tense. So in Matthew 4:4, Jesus is saying, don't rely on that old manna, friend. You need a present word that God is speaking to you. Now, do I mean by an audible voice? No. What I mean is the Holy Spirit revealing a word to you through the Bible. And this is exactly why we designed the Nourish Bible Study Method. Too many of us are just living on podcasts or waiting for our pastor to speak or whatever. Well, guess what? Your pastor speaks one day a week. And I'm telling you, I got a great pastor. He can really preach the word. And I definitely receive from him. But guess what? I and you, we all, I don't care how big your faith is, you need a rhema word from God every day. Every day. And so that daily nourishment from God is so essential. The other reason why you need that daily nourishment is because the Holy Spirit is always doing a new work. And if we hang on to the old thing that God is doing, we might miss ways that God is redirecting us. Case in point, the Christmas story. Now we know that Herod was after the baby Jesus, that he was really threatened by this king. And so what he decided to do is that he decided that he was just going to kill all the newborn babies to take care of that, right? And so it was important for God's child, the Messiah, to be protected. And so because of that, while Joseph went to Bethlehem to have the baby, God also came to Joseph and told him in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Stay here until I return, because Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So see, God redirected. God told Joseph Bethlehem, but now it was Egypt. And God is always doing a new work. And if we're not careful, if we don't have that fresh manna every day, we might miss out on God's protection through his redirection by not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. The other reason why you and I need that daily nourishment for direction is because of renewing the mind. Now, renewing the mind, which the Bible talks about so much, we hear it said renewing the mind. We hear it saying meditate. We also hear the Bible telling us to remember and to reflect on his goodness. The reason why is because we must renew our minds daily. Because the enemy, he has a plan too. And here's what he wants to do to you daily. He wants to tell you daily about all the reasons why you shouldn't trust God, why you need to worry, why everything is going wrong, right? And so we must renew our minds daily because our focus determines our filter from which we make decisions. And faith is present tense. And it doesn't matter if you had rock star faith yesterday, you need to get a word today. And Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing. Do you hear God's words to you every day? Or are you just waiting for Sunday and then living for the next Sunday? I'm telling you, I hear over and over again pastors saying from the pulpit, you need to be in God's word every day. And it's true because there's a battle on. And the way that we are offensive weapon in Ephesians 6 against the enemy is that word, that daily word. All right. So the first thing is the daily nourishment for direction. I talked about this in the opening, but the daily nourishment for direction is, well, let's face it, we're all women, and it's a miracle close to the parting of the Red Sea. Right? Because we have so many in our responsibility. We have kids and we have careers and we have everything going on. How do we cultivate this habit? Well, it's not easy. It's really not easy unless you apply God's principles. And one of the things that we did when we created the Nourish Notebook is I said, I want to create an online class to go with this because I want to walk women through step by step how to start this process and also how to develop the habit God's way. And there are lots of principles inside of God's word. And oftentimes we don't develop the habit, not because we didn't have good intentions, and certainly not because we're not making the effort or trying hard. It's that we're placing our effort in the wrong direction. And so I want to encourage you to get your Nourish Notebook. I'm telling you, I've never worked on a resource as hard as I've worked on this. I've never been more excited about a resource. I'm so excited about it that in January, I'm going to do the 21-day challenge with anybody else that wants to inside of our Treasured Tribe group. And so if this is your New Year's resolution and you want to do this with us, come on and join us. Join us. We would love to have you. And so what you need to do is go to www.treasureministries.com/nourish notebook. Okay, you're like, enough of the commercial. Really though, I so believe in this and I want you to join it. And I'm so passionate about women having that confidence that comes from being in God's word every day that I want you to join along. So come on. Okay, so number one, daily nourishment for God's direction. Number two, you have to divide and conquer what you can and cannot control. Divide and conquer what you can and cannot control. Now, remember last week when we talked about how if we start to make our decisions based on external referencing, which that's things other than the Holy Spirit, things outside of us, what other people are saying, my circumstances, all of that, that will shift our focus from trying to control what we can control to trying to control others or trying to control circumstances. And you know what's awful about that? That is a surefire way to get you into fear and worry. I know this just because of personal experience. And if y'all just heard that sigh, I don't know if you heard the sigh from my dog Sadie, but she's sitting right here at my feet while I record this podcast. But anyway, I digress. So you must, because the Bible tells us, Galatians 5:22, that the fruit of the Spirit is not others' control. It's not circumstances' control. It is self-control. And sometimes we get so paralyzed that we do nothing but place our energy into worry and fear and trying to control other people. And it's a huge waste of energy and time. Now, both are hard, right? Like conquering what you can control, that's going to be hard. Conquering what you cannot control, that's hard too. But one has divine results. And those are the things that God has given you the ability and the authority to control. And he has not given you the authority to control others. In fact, when you look in the Bible and when you see how God operates with people, he gives choices. He never controls people. He always invites people to follow him. He never puts us on a leash. He asks us to trust him. And that's the same way you and I are to be with people and with circumstances that are out of our control. In other words, jump back to the Christmas story. Well, the wise men, they could not change Herod's mind, but they could go another route home and listen to God. Joseph, he couldn't control what other people thought about Mary. But he could follow God and take her to Bethlehem and believe God's truth about what God said about the baby, right? And so here's the thing. You can always control your thinking. The Bible tells us that we have the ability to renew our mind. The Bible tells us, commands us to take our thoughts captive. We have the ability to do it. But it's hard. And so sometimes what I will do is I'll just let that passive thought, the doubt, enter my head and then jump on that train and then hop into despair. No, I'm saying no more. No more for me and no more for you. It's time to follow God with great passion. And in order to do that, you got to divide and conquer what you can and you can't control. So number one, you can control your thoughts and you must just kick doubt out of the door. Say goodbye. I'm not even entertaining that. That is the number one thing. The number two thing is you can ask God a step that he wants you to take. Now, let's jump back to Herod and the wise men. Now, you know, God could have spoken to the wise men and said, I want you to confront Herod, but he didn't say that, right? So it's not that we don't like interact with people at all, or we just, you know, but what we do is we drop back and we use our free will to surrender it to the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then the things that we can't control, the people and the circumstances, we surrender those to God. If there are things and people and circumstances and situations that you are like, I want to rescue, I want, put them in your prayer circle. Now, you may say, what is a prayer circle? Well, you're going to have to get your Nourish Notebook to find that out. I'm telling you, I love this product. This resource is awesome. One of the things that I did is I created these prayer sheets that you use every week that flow from your study of God's Word. And I developed these prayer sheets when God gave me a New Year's resolution to make my prayer life bigger and bolder for Him. And that's why I developed these prayer sheets. And they're inside of the Nourish Notebook. And part of that is prayer circles. So I digress, but here's the thing. The people, you can turn what you cannot control over to the Lord. So that's number two, divide and conquer what you can and can't control. And number three is this, deliberately invest in divine connections. Deliberately invest in divine connections. Now, inside of the Christmas story, we're going to flip over to the Gospel of Luke. And inside of the Gospel of Luke, God did something really beautiful. When he came to Mary and he told her that she was going to have this birth of the Lord Jesus, this supernatural, only made possible by God, birth, God also did something beautiful.
And this happens in Luke chapter 1 and verse 36. It says, "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month." So in other words, God says, "I know you're getting ready to walk through a pregnancy that people are not going to understand, but I'm going to tell you about somebody that will understand, and it is your relative Elizabeth." And see, when God calls you to step out of the boat, to do something too courageous, to make this big decision, He will not only call you, He will give you divine connections. He absolutely 100% will. Now, there's sometimes, you know, Joyce Myers always used to say, sometimes eagles have to fly alone, and that's absolutely true. But the majority of the time, because God knows we're wired for connection, and that is a huge part of our faith. It's not just Bible study. It's connecting with that community, those connections, those real and authentic connections. And inside of Luke chapter 1:39, it says this: "A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth." So Mary not only heard God give her the divine connection, she hurried to find it. In other words, she was intentional. She was intentional. And you and I must be proactive about this. And I'm here to tell you, I speak from personal experience, if you will make this a matter of prayer and not just wait for it to come to you, but say, "God, I want divine connections," God will absolutely 100% answer that prayer, because that's His will for you. His will is for you to be in connection and community. And when you and I find people that are following Christ, you know, it gives you confidence to make those decisions. It gives you that freedom from fear because you're doing it together. And just like Mary and Elizabeth, she was pregnant with John the Baptist. And the reason why her pregnancy was supernatural wasn't, she didn't conceive of the Holy Spirit. It was with her husband. But Elizabeth had been barren for years and she was very old, and yet she was having a baby. And so, because she's having this baby, God is doing something beautiful. He's created this connection for Mary, and it's all a part of His beautiful, divine, orchestrated plan. And so we must see how Mary not only heard, but she heeded. As she hurried, she deliberately invested in those divine connections. And this is the vision that we have at Treasured Ministries for our private Facebook group, The Treasured Tribe. We want the private Facebook group to be women who are pursuing Christ, who want to do three things. Number one, we want to grow together by nourishing our hearts every week through His Word. Now, starting in January, we're going to start sending out devotions to you. And the very first thing that we're going to study together is that 21-day challenge. And I got to tell you, I'm so excited. And I don't know about you, but if you're having a hard time connecting with a small group, or you know, you work during the day and so you just can't connect with a group, or maybe you have a small group, but you're wanting something more, I hope that you will join the Treasured Tribe. And it's really cool what's happening, because literally women from all over the world are joining. And we want you to be a part of it, to grow every week as you're nourished through the Word. And so every week on Monday, we're going to send out a devotion. And then through the 21-day challenge, you're going to learn the Nourish Method. You'll be able to study that. At the bottom of the devotion, there'll be what we call our Nourish Scripture. You'll be able to study that during the week. And then on Thursday, I give what we call the Treasure Tribe Talk, which is a teaching message back on that Nourish Scripture designed to encourage you by teaching you timeless biblical truths straight from the Word of God that can heal soul hurts. So we want to grow. The next thing we want to do in the Treasure Tribe is to connect. I want this to be the place where you can ask for prayer, where you can post things that you find are encouraging, where we can, you know, talk through God's Word together and ask each other questions, engage with one another. Imagine connecting with women all over the world who are following Jesus. It's pretty amazing. And then number three is to thrive. We want to thrive by doing this simply, that we are going to define our worth, value, and purpose based on the Word of God. Not what other people say, not what the Word says, but we are going to give the pen into God's hand and let Him write the story of our life. So I want to invite you to join the Treasured Tribe. And you can do that by going to www.treasuredtribe.com and learning about that. All right, so the three steps, I'm going to go over them again. Number one, daily nourishment for direction. And if you're looking to make this a reality in your life in 2020, go to treasuredministries.com/nourishnotebook and join us as we take this journey together. Number two, divide and conquer what you can and cannot control. And number three, deliberately invest in divine connections. And again, if you want to join the Treasured Tribe, go to www.treasuredtribe.com. And you know, making this effort to do those things, it's so important. We need to have confidence in God's call on our life, because your yes to God's reign in your life matters, because each step of your courageous obedience advances God's kingdom one bold, beautiful, brave step at a time. Your yes goes beyond you. Mary's yes to God went beyond her. Elizabeth's yes, Joseph's yes, the wise men's yes. All their yeses mattered. Your yes matters. Now, I want to read to you this last scripture from the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1. It is absolutely beautiful. And the reason why it is so beautiful is because this is, it's called the Benedictus, and it's Zechariah's prophecy. And the reason why this is so beautiful is because when the angel spoke to Zechariah about the fact that Elizabeth was going to have John the Baptist initially, he doubted God. He doubted God. He made a mistake. But it wasn't over, because God redeemed the mistake, and Zechariah was able to be a part of that. And if you want to read the story in that, it's really beautiful. You can go to Luke chapter 1. It's pretty awesome what God does. And I'm so tempted to like teach on that now, but that would be like a whole other podcast. But the point that I want you to see in this is that Zechariah at first doubted God, but then he came back. And he acted in faith, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And what I want you to see in that is that mistakes are not final. And sometimes we will get so worried. What if I fail? What if I make a mistake? What if I didn't hear from God? And honestly, when God came to Zechariah and told him about the birth of John, Elizabeth had been barren for years. And the Bible says that Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were righteous, upstanding people that followed the Lord, and Zechariah was performing his priestly duties, and so he was a good man. And I wonder if there was a part of him that thought, you know, I've been good all these years. Elizabeth has not gotten pregnant, which back then that was it's a big deal today, but it was a huge deal back then. And so he was probably doubting, like, you know, what have I done wrong? What have, you know, what's going on? Did I do something? So there was probably not a lot of confidence in his ability to hear from God. And so when the angel came to him and he doubted what the angel was saying, it doesn't surprise me, right? Because I've walked through disappointments. I've walked through times where, you know, you just wonder, you're like, is God really there? Is he really speaking to me? But anyway, so Zechariah doubts. And because he doubts, and see, I said I wasn't going to go in and teach on that, and here I go. But I'll be quick. Zechariah doubts, and then God silences Zechariah. I believe that he silenced him because Elizabeth needed all the faith that she could get. And we don't need a doubter in our ear when God is calling us to be courageous. So anyway, so he silences Zechariah, but then Zechariah's mouth is opened up and he's able to speak when he responds in obedience by naming the boy John. And that was a step of faith, because that's what God told him to name the baby. And other people were saying to name him, you know, something else. And then in verse 6, they said, what? There's no one in your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. And he motioned for a writing tablet. To everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. And so Zechariah was obedient. And, you know, when we've made a mistake, all we need to do is to repent. We need to go back. We need to just take that step of faith that we did. But it does not mean that God has done with us. It does not mean that it's final. And God loves when we turn around, when we have a change of heart, he loves to open up that door where we can take that step of faith and we can see him redeem whatever was done. And that's what God did. And so then it says in verse 65, all fell among the whole neighborhood, and the news of what happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was surely on him in a special way. So it was just a great day. And then Zechariah sends out this prophecy. And listen, I'm going to start in verse 74. It says, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and in righteousness for as long as we live. And see, in that scripture, Zechariah was talking about the fact that the Messiah had come to be the king of Israel, to release them from this oppression from Rome. And we know that Jesus came to give a greater reign, that he came to bring his kingdom, and that it's not that God is not going to establish this one day, but that this is a further prophecy to come. So the rescue that he's talking about here, God did rescue. It was a greater rescue, rescuing us from our sins. And see, we have been rescued through Christ's death from a lot of enemies. The enemy of shame, the enemy of perfectionism, the enemy of the fear of failure. We have been rescued from all of those things so that now we can serve God without fear. We can serve God without fear. What is God calling you to do today that yesterday you were so confident in, but today you have doubt? May the Christmas story remind you that your yes matters, and to cultivate courage by staying close to God every day and having confidence in his word to you. Because every big, bold, beautiful step of faith that you take is about building his kingdom. thanks so much for joining in. I pray that you and your family have a beautiful, beautiful Christmas. And I hope that you'll join me for the 21-day challenge for the new year. It's going to be a great year, and I hope to see you there. Bye-bye.